All right. Good morning, everyone. Our lesson today is in Luke chapter 18, and the title of the lesson is Learn to Pray. And I thought it was a great lesson. I hope everybody enjoyed studying it. Welcome to Sharon, our guest. Glad you're here with us today. And I'm glad that Dimple and Willie are back with us today. So we're going to look at the things that we need to remember when we do pray, and that's being persistent with our prayers, have faith that God will answer them, and when we pray very humbly. So we're going to look at that. Do you believe that God always answers prayers?
Yes.
Yes. He does answer them, but he does it in his timing. I think Joy has experienced that most recently with your job search. I think that, you know, it's not in your timing, but it's going to be in God's timing. So, and it'll happen. So knowing that God does answer our prayers, I feel like everybody feels like he does. How should this affect the way you pray? Should it?
This one?
That's right. We should never pray if we believe that he's going to answer us, no matter what the answer is and how long it takes. If we believe that he's going to answer us, then we should always have that attitude when we go. That's right. When we go to him in prayer. So the relationship that we have with Christ and our understanding of God's truth and compassion should always make a difference in how we pray. So our relationship with him and the understanding that we believe that in his truth and that he has compassion for us should always make a difference in how we pray. When you see somebody praying with their head bowed and their hands folded, what does that tell you about the attitude that they have? That's right, they do. It symbolizes submission to God and whatever answer he is going to give you. And it also shows that you have a desire to shut out everything around you and just focus on talking to him. So, I mean, but you don't... You should do that if it's just you. You know? I mean, I pray driving down the road. I don't close my eyes and bow my head. I don't think he wants me to do that. But you know, but when you see somebody that's got their head bowed, you know that they're focusing and they're being humble and to God. The most important thing about prayer is that believers develop and maintain a regular and consistent prayer life. Regular and consistent prayer life. This helps strengthen our relationship with Jesus, and it helps us grow in our understanding of him. So, I want to ask y'all, how many of y'all keep a prayer journal?
I do sometimes.
I have in the past. But how many of you realize that you do keep a prayer journal? Everybody in this room keeps a prayer journal, and I've got it. And I brought it to show you. This is every prayer sheet that we've done since I started teaching last July the 31st. Except for the couple of Sundays I haven't been here. So you do keep a prayer journal. And you just don't, and you know, and you take a sheet home with you every week and you pray. And we see answers. So all the prayers, and I've got this, and I'll start bringing it every Sunday. And if you ever want to look back and see what you prayed for, and see if you've gotten your answer, all you got to do is look in here. That's the beauty of a prayer journal, is that you write it down, you don't forget it, because that happens to all of us, and then you can go back and then have praises, because you know that God has answered. That's why I call it prayer and praises, because it's not all about prayer, it's about giving praise to God for what he's done, for what he's answered. So you do, don't ever tell nobody you don't keep a prayer journal, because you do, every Sunday. you keep a prayer journal. So I'll start bringing this, and if anybody, every Sunday, and if anybody ever wants to look back at their, whatever they prayed for, I'll have it here every Sunday. So let's take a look at our lesson and see how we can learn to talk to Jesus or improve the way that we talk to Him. I know, you know, if you talk to Him, this lesson is going to help us improve the way we talk to Him. So let's, our very first section is We Can Pray with Persistence, and it's Luke 18, and it's verses 1 through 5. It says, one day Jesus told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to Him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. So Jesus is teaching His disciples about spiritual tools that are available to them as they face troubling times. Because you know the disciples did that. They faced a lot of trouble. We are looking at one of those tools today in our lesson, and that's prayer. Pray and never give up. That's the first lesson that He gave them. And it's in the first verse. One day, Jesus told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Luke's writings place a strong emphasis on prayer. It is to be a way of life for us. I don't think anything about it. I pray at the drop of a hat. You know, I mean, that's where you go. But I tell you, but in a crisis, do you always go there in a crisis? Is that the first thing you think? It's not. You're trying to figure out how to fix it, you know, and that's just human nature. And I do the same thing. But I pray at work. I pray when I first get up. I pray when I go to bed. Pray throughout the day. You know, just to give You whatever. You know, if I'm having a rough day, give me peace to get through this. Give me the smarts to know what I'm supposed to do next. You know, so it just doesn't have to be a whole lot of thee and thou and thy. That's not the way you talk to your friends. You know, if these three Bettys got together and they talked, they'd just talk. And that's the way that God wants us to talk to Him, because He's our friend, and that's how we have to treat Him.
I think we could go there in crisis. But what we do in crisis, we go. But then we don't turn it over to God.
That's right.
And we keep on going, trying to figure it out ourselves. Mm-hmm.
And then we don't leave it. We don't leave it.
It's true.
So when Jesus said pray always, it meant on a regular basis. That's what He means, on a regular basis. Jewish prayer times typically came in the morning and evening. Listen to this. Their religious system limited prayer to no more than three times a day. The view was that more than that might be a bother to God. That's the way they thought. So the disciples needed to pray because we get discouraged. They got discouraged. They're just a bunch of humans. Remember, they were nobodies. And He gathered them all up. We're all human. After Jesus ascended to heaven, they waited for Him to return. Some will live and some will die before it happens, before He comes back.
It's kind of Jewish, thinking it was a bother. Sometimes little things pop up that I need help right then. And I used to think, well, God, that's too small for God. But now I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's I automatically go to God.
That's right.
And little things that, especially now that I'm older and I forget, and I sometimes forget what I've done with things that I need, you know, and I'll just say, Lord, you know, I'm stupid sometimes and I put things where I don't know where I put them. And help me. And then I turn around and there it is.
There it is. That's right.
And I know that He's there for me anytime.
But they only pray three times a day, so if that happened to them, they'd just have to wait till it was time to pray. So, when we get impatient in a difficult situation, it can lead to hopelessness, and that's why Jesus says never give up. Never, if we rely on ourselves, like Betty said, you know, that's when we get hopeless, because we can't fix most things. The judge in this parable was everything a judge should not be. Now, in 2 Chronicles 19, they talk about that. This is Jehoshaphat, and he's trying to clean things up. And this is what he says in chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. It says, "He appointed judges throughout the nation and all the fortified towns. And he said to them, 'Always think carefully before pronouncing judgment. Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. He will be with you when you render the verdict in each case. Fear the Lord and judge with integrity, for the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or the taking of bribes.'" So that's how they were supposed to be, and this guy was everything but that. He was everything he wasn't supposed to be. So he did not fear God, and he says it in our verses today. He refused to seek help from God. He relied on his own wisdom to resolve issues that were brought to him, and he had no reverence for God, so his justice was uncaring. God wasn't involved in anything he did. That's why that woman was driving him crazy, because he didn't want to fool with her, because probably whomever she was against was wanting justice from, he was probably, you know, taking money from them or something, because he was doing everything wrong. He did not respect man, because he never considered who might be right in a situation before him. He left himself open to corruption. He didn't really care. It was whoever paid him the most was the one that was gonna win. Whichever side could benefit him the most would be the side that won. He could have cared less about the issue of human need. But this widow came to his court. Now, widows were the poor and the helpless in the society of this time. When she appeared before the judge, she didn't have any money to give him for a bribe, and she didn't have an influential person that he would have looked up to, maybe, to speak for, to be on her side. So, she kept coming and coming and coming, and because he wouldn't listen to her, and he ignored her. So we don't know the details of her case, because her situation as a widow left her vulnerable to be taken advantage of. Because back then, if you were a widow, it just the Lord wanted them to be taken care of, and this guy was not doing that. It could have been something financial that she had a case against someone for, but she felt like she was right, and she was persistent in going back to the judge. She just kept going back and going back. So the judge did not judge fairly, but God does. She was persistent. The example is, this guy does not represent, now this judge is not representing God by any means, because he was everything that God isn't, but the woman, she was persistent. She was persistent because she felt like she was right. She didn't lose hope that the guy was going to help her. And so that's the way God is. He always judges fairly. He hears us when we pray, no matter what we pray, and we can't ever doubt that. We don't have to jump through hoops like she did to convince God to hear us. We don't have to beg him to pay attention to us. He's always listening. Persistence in our prayer may be needed to prepare our heart for God's response. Have you ever thought about that? I thought that was a pretty good statement. That maybe the reason he wants us to continue always to pray and never give up is not so much that you got to keep saying it like she did to the judge, to finally he just did it because he got tired of hearing it. That's not the way God is. He doesn't want us to pray over and over and over and over and over again until he gets tired of it and then he answers us. He's preparing, think of it this way, that you're preparing yourself, your heart, for whatever the answer is going to be. Whether it's an answer you want or if it's the answer that God wants you to have. So think of it that way. So the widow wouldn't give up, and finally the judge decided that he better listen to her because she was driving him crazy. He wanted peace for himself is the only reason. It wasn't to help her. It was to help him. And he finally acted in the right way, but he did it for all the wrong reasons. He finally answered her, but it was for all the wrong reasons. Listen to this excerpt about what Jesus says about not giving up on prayer. It's out of this book, The Teaching of Jesus on Prayer, and it's by Lewis McLachlan, and it was written in 19... got cat hair on it. Cat's been on it. 1952. It says, so our Lord... and this is about these verses. So our Lord bids us pray persistently, for there may be much resistance to overcome. We should never be discouraged by the absence of results, for answers to prayer are not necessarily registered in experience. We must never allow appearances to deceive us. God has unlimited power, but sometimes he can be so gentle that he is often present and active without anyone knowing. Prayer works in the unseen, into which if we could see, we should learn that events are moving faster than we can perceive. You know, they always talk about behind the scenes, God's fighting the devil for us, and there's a whole lot going on that has a whole lot to do with the prayers that we have, and we don't even see that. We don't see what God does before he finally gives us an answer. Our Lord's teaching is very practical. He tells us always to expect results. Always to expect results. But if the results are slow to appear, the time taken is not lost. I like that. The time taken in praying and waiting for your results is not lost, because it's preparing you in your heart for whatever that answer is going to be. Let's look at our next verses. It's we can pray with faith, Luke 18, 6 through 8. It says, then the Lord said, he's talking to the disciples, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? These are great verses. So Jesus wanted his disciples, and he wanted us, to listen to the unjust judge. Although for all the wrong reasons, the evil judge finally did the right thing. So if an unjust man can do something right, no matter the reason, how much more can God do? Can our righteous God do? Because he intends to do the right thing every time. So how much more can he do? God does hear his elect, his chosen people, and that's us. Believers are his elect. Those who accept willingly the grace of God in Jesus the Messiah. That's God's chosen people. So verse 7 is a complement to verse 1. Verse 1 says, always pray and never give up. Verse 7 says, God hears our prayers day and night. He doesn't take the day off. He doesn't take the night off. He never, ever sleeps. No limit exists to God's availability. So the Jews were wrong about bothering him. There's no limit. He's always available. If you wake up in the middle of the night, need to say a prayer to help you go back to sleep, because that's a problem sometimes, you know, just ask him to help you go back to sleep. God will never delay help to us. Doesn't mean he's always going to work in our immediacy, how quickly we want him to work, how quickly Joy wants that job, right? Not going to always do that, but he never delays helping us when it's in his time, but it's got to be in his time. He does respond, and it's always in his timing. So Jesus asked the final question to the disciples. He says, will he find this kind of faith on earth when he comes back?
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you doing? I was thinking about you
yesterday. How about that? It's good to have you. We're in Luke chapter 18, and we're looking at verses 6 through 8.
Thank you.
verses 6 through 8 right now. So the final question that Jesus asked is, will he find the kind of faith on earth when he comes back? Jesus connects persistent prayer with faith. That's our next. Gotta have faith. You can never lose hope. Prayer demonstrates our faithfulness to God because we have faith that he's going to listen to us, and eventually, in his time, he's going to answer us. Sometimes his time is our time. It's pretty quick, you know, especially when it's no. And it's not the thing we need to do. God's faithfulness to us is not in question. God is always faithful to us. His response to our prayers benefit us because that makes us remain faithful to him. We must remain faithful through the trials that will come to us before Jesus comes back. How many's in a trial right now? Raise your hand. Everybody. You know, there's always something going on in your life. You never know what your neighbor next to you has got going on. You never know. At the end of all of our lives, God will be there waiting for us. Amen, and praise the Lord. He wants us to remain focused on him and faithful to him throughout the time that we wait for that time to come. Praying to him and talking to him reinforces our connection to him. How many times in your life have you kind of gotten away from it? Gotten away from fellowshipping by coming to church, fellowshipping by being in a Sunday school class like this, gotten away from talking to him, gotten away from reading your Bible because life is so busy, you know, raising children or whatever it is, working for me, and you get away from it. Do you feel connected? Do you feel at peace when that happens? You don't. You don't. And then when you come back, it's a wonderful feeling that just washes over you because you have come back. So we need to remember that praying to him and talking to him, and you know, talking to him, I was thinking about this, and it comes to me every time when you talk about having a relationship with Jesus, and it's made it so much easier for me through the years, is because I think about two people who, like you and Zeta, are real close, right? So you're walking down the beach, and but you're friends, but you don't talk. Can you imagine? Y'all would burst, wouldn't you? That's right. And if something was going on, would you want to tell her or not? You would. So what's different about Jesus? What's different about Jesus? Have that relationship with him. Talk to him just like you would somebody you can see. Because his answer, you know, friends give you support, family gives you support, but the Lord gives you the answer. All right, our next section is verses 9 through 12. We cannot pray with arrogance. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. So we're moving into another parable. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. So, the Pharisee. Now see, that's who Jesus is talking to. At the verse 9 it says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. So he's talking to a group of Pharisees because they thought they were the bomb. They really did. So our previous parable and this one illustrates faithfulness. This parable contrasts a true disciple and a false one. Jesus told this parable to some that were just like the one in the parable. He didn't confine his teaching to the disciples. All this is for us. This is for people that aren't born yet, people that have already died. This is for everybody. Most Bible students believe Jesus referred to the Pharisees in here, although he didn't call him that. The Pharisees were a group of religious leaders. They did do some things right. No one questioned them about being sinful. They felt God's acceptance depended on their strict obedience to the law. They trusted in their own actions to win God's approval. They didn't trust in God's grace. They didn't probably even know what that was. Because of this failure, they looked down on other people. They were the religious elite. I'm better than you approach. Arrogance blinded them to their own sin. And it's obvious in this prayer that the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. Now, how arrogant is that? For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. Because those are things. And then he calls out the tax collector. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. So he's talking about he fasts twice a week and he gives him a tenth. These are all the laws back then. And they thought that if they followed those, that they were accepted by God. So Jesus sets this parable so that the listeners will see the contrast between the two, a true disciple and a false one. So both men went to the temple complex to pray. And this was ordinary. People did this all the time. They went to the temple to pray privately all the time. The devout gathered there for public prayer at 9 and 3. 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Everybody went to publicly. That's their two times a day, and I guess one time you did it privately and you were good. So Jesus identified one of these as a Pharisee, a strict follower of the law, as I told you earlier. The other one was identified as a tax collector, the exact opposite of the Pharisee. Two totally different people. Tax collectors were hired by the Roman government, and everybody back then hated the Roman government. So they hated the tax collector because they worked for them. Many of these tax collectors took advantage of their fellow Jews with higher tax assessments, and a lot of Jews despised them and considered them to be sinners because of the job that they did. So in the prayer, the Pharisee, he stood up when he prayed. He lifted his head and his hands toward heaven, and he thanked God he wasn't like other people. That is just so arrogant.
Sandra, wasn't he taught better?
Well, that's what they thought. They were religious leaders, and they thought if they followed the law, that's just like Paul. Paul was a Pharisee, and he grew up at the feet of the guy that was like one of the top ones. I can't remember his name. I can't pronounce it either. And but you remember, he was killing Christians because he thought that was what he was supposed to do. So, yes, he was taught that way. But
well, that's just like now we say beware of what people teach us, you know, beware of different cults and things like that.
Right.
It's false teaching.
Right.
But if someone grew up believing that was a law.
But now he's got Jesus in front of him, trying to teach him.
Okay.
So he thanked God he wasn't like other people. He told God he wasn't greedy, that he wasn't unrighteous, and he wasn't an adulterer. He didn't take it, by being not greedy, he didn't take advantage of people. He didn't do evil things and was not untrustworthy. See, he was a good person, I guess, in general. That he didn't, he wasn't a crook or anything. He wasn't an adulterer. He was faithful to his wife. Then he turns to, this is a list of good things that he did in his prayer. He fasted twice a week. He was required to, now see, only on the Day of Atonement were they required to fast. But this guy was so good, he did it twice a week. He was so good. So, and most of the Pharisees, they fasted on Monday and Thursday. They, you know, they went above and beyond something that didn't mean a hill of beans, but to them. He gave a tenth of everything. The law required a tithe on selected items. He gave a tenth on everything because, you know, he was better than everybody. So this exposed the need that he felt to earn standing with God. Now, I'm sure the Pharisees back then thought they were going to heaven, but they were going to be the ones in the nicest mansions. So, do you know anyone who attempts to be good enough to gain God's favor? Do you know anybody like that? that thinks that I do. I've got my Jewish friend that I've told you all about. They think as long as they're a good person and they do good, they're going. They do not believe in Jesus. They think that the Messiah is still to come. And they think that being a good person and raising their family good and not doing any kind of... And they're not arrogant about it like the Pharisee, but they do believe that being a good person is going to get them there. So no matter what bad actions you avoid or what good things you do, God never offers salvation based on our actions or our works. And we all know that. We just got to get out there and share it with somebody. If he did it that way, if we could just be good, if I could be good because I'm up here teaching, and y'all could be good because y'all showed up, then why did Jesus have to get on that cross? He wouldn't have had to. He'd have had to make heaven really big if it was just going to be full of people that were good. God rescues you and me from sin through our faith in Jesus, and he does that because he loved us. He gave us Jesus because he loves us. So let's look at let's don't be arrogant when we pray. Just ask for that to be, you know, we're not in to move it forward into our time. I think, you know, none of us are better than anybody else, better than our neighbor. Our skin color, our ethnicity, none of that matters. God loves us. He made us all. He made us different for a reason. We would be awful boring people if we were all the same.
Yeah.
We would. So, you know, that is how we can become arrogant, moving it fast forward 2,000 years, I think. You know, people that are less fortunate than us. There's always, like I said the other week, there's always somebody that's less fortunate than you are. That's right. There's always going to be somebody in a situation that's worse than yours, and you just never know what your neighbor, and not your neighbor that you live next door to necessarily, but your neighbor standing in line with you at the grocery store, your neighbor sitting right beside you right now. You don't know. You never know. So let's look at praying with humility. Our last verses are verses 13 and verses 14. And this finishes up this parable. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That was Jesus speaking. So the rest of this parable portrays the proper attitude for prayer. This guy did it right. He may not have been the best person in the world, but we have to remember, this brought to my mind, we have to remember that even somebody that has been convicted of some terrible crime, if they are sincere in their heart and they ask for forgiveness, we're going to see them one day up there. Because God and them know the condition of their heart. Not us to judge for any other reason. A surprise to the arrogant listeners, who were the Pharisees that Jesus is talking to, Jesus used the tax collector as an illustration of humility. Now they thought they were being humble, probably. Instead of being public about his prayer, the tax collector positioned himself at a distance away from everybody. He wanted to focus on communing with God. He probably went to one of the outer temple courts, you know, because the temple, they had all the little different rooms and stuff. And he probably went to one of the outer courts to pray privately with God. He didn't lift his face toward heaven. He considered himself unworthy to look up to God. So in his heart, he's humble. He's readying himself to speak with God. He was in sorrow and anguish. He beat his chest, you know, and sometimes they beat their chest and they throw dirt, ashes on themselves, you know, and because they were so sorrowful about how they were. He was aware of his sin. He knew that he was a sinner. And it wasn't necessarily because he was a tax collector, I don't think. I think he just knew it in his heart that he needed God's forgiveness. He admitted his sin. He sought forgiveness and mercy from God. He knew he deserved punishment for the sin, and he begged for God's mercy. We all deserve punishment for the sins that we commit. And we commit on the way to church. That's what I tell you every Sunday. So you do. Before you get here,
yeah,
you commit at least one. The tax collector allowed God to change his life, and he received forgiveness. He turned, remember we talked about repenting, turning away. He turned away from his sin and received forgiveness. The Pharisee, what'd he get? No forgiveness. So let's see how we can put this into action this week, what we've learned today about prayer. We pray with humble persistence. Go to God with humility. Don't be arrogant. And just never stop praying. Never give up. It doesn't mean you got to pray every minute of every second of every day. Just don't stop praying to God. Pray on a regular basis. Pray with faith. Declare with confidence that you know that God hears your prayers. Check your prayers for arrogance. Make sure. Because there's all forms of arrogance. It's not just the Pharisee demonstration. We can be arrogant about things, and maybe we need to ask God to make sure that we're not being arrogant. Be thankful for God's mercy toward you and any sinner who comes humbly to Him in prayer. Those are the things that we can take action this week. Be humble, be persistent, and have faith that God is going to answer you when He's ready to give you the answer. Does anybody have any questions, complaints, comments?